This is wildlife with my mom. I mean, I'm German. Okay, no. This is wildlife with my mom.
Okay, sounds good. Nice. Yes. Patrick Ferenga, you are, I think, the third time, maybe, on my show. Yeah, I think the third time. And it makes sense because you are my go-to source for unschooling, homeschooling things. I love your newsletter. And I hate newsletters in general. I just don't know. It's boring. Mm-hmm. But yours is pretty cool. And I need to say we connected. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, I would say. So and we connect today because I think today or yesterday you sent a new newsletter. But the one before was about a very timeless topic, as you said. It was about how parents make time for themselves and how important that is, especially when you're homeschooling, unschooling. That's an extreme lifestyle, some people would think so. And even more important is to make time for yourself as a mom or dad. And in your newsletter, I think her name was Gail Young, a mom. Yes. What was it for? Alaska Homeschooling Association or something like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got it right. And it's she wrote it the month I was born. So it was 35 years ago. And wow. It is still the same topic today. Like, we need to make time for ourselves to be functional human beings, to be able to love and keep the peace in the family and all of this. So this mm-hmm. is why I thought I want to talk about this with you, because this is one of the things I hear the most. Not only homeschooling, unschooling parents, but parents in general, they feel like they are so burnt out. And I really get that, because normally you have a whole village to raise your kids, and now it's like you and mm-hmm. your partner, and if you're lucky, someone else in like family-wise or something else. Mm-hmm. So, and for me, this is an ongoing topic, because I think we have so much to do, everyone in their own lives. We have, on top of that, maybe mom guilt. Not me, of course. I mean, I have mom guilt to the top. I cannot leave my child alone without feeling like garbage. But the older he gets, the easier it is, because I can talk to him about it and we can reflect together. And mm-hmm. now he's 12, and it's a beautiful age because he wants to be alone. And I'm like, wow. Finally, my time has come. It's awesome. So maybe you have something to share, or I don't know, some ideas around that topic, because I guess you hear that a lot, and maybe even solutions and new ideas about how to solve that, things mm-hmm. that I didn't think of. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the first things I think a homeschooling and an unschooling parent in particular, because you're going to rely on a curriculum per se, you might get inspiration or ideas, but, you know, it's not going to schedule your whole day. So, yeah. You know, there's this worry that, oh, my child will be bored. And, boredom is like this terrible thing. And, you know, we can't allow that. And it's just, and that's nonsense. One of the first things you have to learn is that, you know, yes, you know, you are part of your child's life and one of the most important parts, but you don't have to be their full-time entertainer. They have to learn, and you have to model how to be alone. It's as simple as that. You know, I mean, if a child sees you on your phone all the time, they're going to say, that's what I do when I'm alone, right? True. But if they see you walking or thinking or meditating or just reading a book or just, you know, listening to music, you know, by demonstrating what it looks like and feels like to be alone, you know, your children start to figure this out. And boredom, you know, I mean, when I hear that from parents, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, same thing in school. It's like, no, it's not a nonstop activity. You know, the human brain, the human body needs rest. and everybody's got different metabolisms and different interests and so on. So, you know, to assume that, you know, oh, I'm bored is a problem to be solved by an adult. No, the problem needs to be solved by the person who's bored. And what does that mean? You know, well, if I'm alone with my thoughts. Well, you know, if you're the sort of parent that does meditation or prayer, you could explore that with your child and start to explain how that works, you know? And I'm sure that you probably did anyway, if it's, as I said at the top of all this, part of your daily life. I mean, if that's it. But, you know, a lot of people go through the day, you know, trying to get their work done. And if you have more than one child, although even one child is a lot to take care of while you're homeschooling, but it's okay to say, figure it out. You know, or if they ask for help, all right, here, read this book or play this game or try this. You know, definitely offer suggestions. But if you don't have the time, you know, you have to say, figure it out. Like, what do you want to do? You know, and, you know, and you know, they can't always ask you to be the entertainer or the idea generator. And so, you know, it's perfectly okay to let your child figure out how to be alone. You know, and conversely, one of the things, you know, one of the great pieces of advice I learned early on in homeschooling is that if you have a social child, two of my three daughters were very sociable. And so, you know, they want to be around people. So how do you find time? Well, you invite other children over to your house and they play with your child. And you try to get work done around that. But you know what? It will work. It might take some time to settle in, you know. But yes, inviting other children to occupy and play with your child or to do projects with your child, however you want to, you know, structure it, or however the kids eventually structure it, it buys you the time. You know, so if you need to get work done, make phone calls, do stuff around the house, or if you need to take a walk. I mean, now this might turn into a mini lecture, but then, you know, alternatively, another thing is you explain to them, you know, yeah, you invite other kids, but then the other thing is you invite them on the walk with you. You show them, like, you're all right, well, if you don't want to do that now, I'm going to take a walk, or, you know, I need to do such and such. And you just, you know, they if they have to come with you, if you can't leave them alone for some reason, then, you know, you bring them. But, you know, with the understanding that this is my time, this is something I have to do, I'm happy to have you tag along, you know. But it's not like, oh, I'm bored, sure, you know, let's do something, you know, interesting. It's like, okay, well, we could do that in another time. Right now I have to do this, you know. Or, you know, you could say, we'll do that later. You know, I mean, it doesn't, you know, a lot of parents get like real uptight that, oh, if their child is asking questions, that means that they're bored or they don't know what to do and I have to show them what to do. Look, one of the most important things we could do, and this is in school and out of school, is to help children feel self-sufficient. And the only way that they're going to get that self-sufficiency is by learning how to be self-sufficient. So give them the steps, you know, at home, you know, it's very easy. Here, I'll show you how to make a bowl of cereal. All right. So you show them what things are kept. And there it is. Now you know, I mean, we don't have to, you know, parents often get into this idea that they have to be the servant of their child. And it, you know, and it's like, no, we want our children to be self-sufficient. So, you know, help them do that. You know, so, all right, I'll stop there and have you ask questions.
I love it, to be honest. When I started, like, we started homeschooling just a couple of weeks, and I figured out it's not my thing. I'm an unschooler because I really couldn't be with that nonstop, like being in the responsibility of someone else's happiness or boredom, whatever, like this fulfillment in everyday life. I was like, this is something he has to figure out by himself. And I just live my life and this is fine. And this is now, I don't know, 7 years ago or something. We had something very interesting at the weekend. I had a meditation retreat. So I was, I don't know, a little bit more than 48 hours. I was at home, but not available. So he had to figure out his own stuff. I mean, I cooked tons of food. Everything was clean. The dogs were walked until I don't know, to the maximum, mm-hmm. everyone was prepared in this household for that. And I loved it. It was like living with your bestie, but everyone has their own life.
Right.
So I thought, like, this is awesome. If you just talk to your kid about it, that you need this and that, you need time alone, you and as you said, we also have the responsibility to teach them how to be alone. And mm-hmm. I never did stuff like that because I felt so guilty for not spending time with him. And in the end, I'm like, dude, he's 12 years old. I'm a single mom. He spent 12 years with me. He's sick mm-hmm. of me, maybe. So now I'm free. I feel like that. And to see that
realization. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're learning all the time.
Yes. You know? And things are changing, I guess. So mm-hmm. I was really thinking about to leave the house, have him like home time alone, or everyone is at home and we spend time alone. So this is like a major thing. I don't know how the legal aspect is in the US, but I guess if you are homeschooling, I mean, in Germany, it's forbidden. Now we live in Spain, but I think it's like a gray zone. If you homeschool and something happens, you're automatically double, like you're not only a bad mom, you're the worst mom, you know? So you cannot have anything happen to your child. So I know like a lot of homeschooling families in Spain, they're like, oh, I can't leave my kids alone, not even for an hour. Just imagine if something happens and then authorities will figure out and I'm a homeschooling mom and then I'm really, I don't know,
in the shit pit.
Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah. they have to have time alone at home, I guess, because it's their home as well. And if they want to dance around naked with nobody else, I think they should have the opportunity to do so. And we should not assume they will burn down the house. They will kill themselves accidentally, the neighbors as well, and eat the cat or whatever. I really think time home alone is equally as important for kids as for parents to spend time alone. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think about kids like really spending alone time at home? Because for me, it's like an anxiety thing if I think about leaving him alone at home, but I really know that he would love it.
Well, I think that especially at 12, I mean, the you know, he mm-hmm. ready to accept responsibility. They want it, you know, so try it out. Give him, you know, and you'll be gone for an hour or two, you know, see how it goes, you know, but definitely, you know, because, you know, I believe this is a phrase from La Leche League, but, you know, but I think it holds true in so many facets of parenting. The path of growth for a child is to go from dependence to independence.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to help them, you know, you have to accept that, you know, yes, right now, you know, I have to feed you and clothe you, but I'm going to show you how to do that over time. And some people rush it. So, you know, but, you know, it sounds like you're at a sweet spot where, you know, he's asking for it and you're ready. You feel like, hey, I think you can accept this responsibility. I hope it works out. And it probably will.
But yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You know, but it, you know, so there's that trust, but there's this bigger issue. And I'm really sorry to hear that this is true of parents in Spain, because it certainly became true of parents here in the States, starting in the 1980s, you know, and what happened was, I got to try and condense the whole story, but there was a family whose child was kidnapped by a stranger and murdered. And before they found that he was murdered, they put out like all these warnings, you know, help protect my, you know, help me find my child. I think his name was Adam Walsh. And they put his photo on milk cartons. It became this whole like national crisis, you know. And then when he was found dead, you know, the dad became a TV star talking about, you know, child abductions, and they went on from there. I'm pretty sure that the dad had a TV show. I mean, I'm going back to the 80s. So, but then it became this thing where every adult was considered a possible pervert or a perpetrator of child abuse. You know, I remember John Holt, because he was still alive at this time. This was the early 80s. He often liked to go into the playgrounds and sit on the bench and watch the children play, you know. And he said that now, in the, you know, after this whole kerfluffle happened, it became like a real big issue. And like, you know, all the authorities are like, watch your children. There are all these horrible people out there waiting to take them away from you. So John said, like, he couldn't like sit there and just, oh, look around. He had to bring a newspaper with him and then put the newspaper in front of him. And then when he wanted to look at the kids, you peek around the side, see what's going on. He said, you know, because he said he was getting looks as an elderly man sitting in a park watching children. All of a sudden, you know, as I grew up in Manhattan and in the Bronx, well, largely in the Bronx, in New York, and it was very common for the elderly to be sitting on park benches and watching the kids play. It was not, but now all of a sudden, that's become, you know, suspicious. And here we are in 2025, and I think most people would say it's unseemly for a single man or woman to be sitting in a park looking at children play. And that's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's just crazy, you know. So we, you know, part of this is the media, you know, because that's what sold things. It you know, I mean, like I said, it was all over milk cartons. If you've seen all these missing children, and then eventually it died down because it weren't that they realized that it was an overblown issue. Yeah, kids were being harmed, but not at the level that they were saying that every day you get, you know, have to look at the milk carton to see, did I see this kid in my walk to the, down the street today? So, but that we've had that hangover now, you know, and the same thing, you know, we've seen it in schooling. You know, I mean, you've probably encountered this from your homeschooling friends. Is how much time do you spend on math? You know, well, you know, you're not doing your child any favors if you're not spending 1 hour a day or 3 hours a day or so, you know. And again, like, you know, you look at school, say, how many kids learn math that way? Maybe 30% of the kids in the class and the other 70% pass the test and immediately forget. You know, or still, you know, it's still just a jumble in the head. I mean, this idea that we can measure, like, you know, measure the amount of time that is necessary to learn something or do something, you know, yeah, you know, we have efficiency studies in factories, and that's what a lot of this is based on. But we're not, you know, and yeah, that treats people as automatons, like a secretary should be able to pump out five, you know, letters a minute or something like that, you know. But that's not how life works when you're raising your child, you know. You don't have to treat them like an automaton, you know. And that's one of my big worries about artificial intelligence in schools is like, you know, I don't want my children. I don't think children should be taught by machines. I think children should be taught to use machines.
Yeah.
To use them. How do I make this? How do I use you to do this? Not you're like my substitute mom, my substitute teacher, you know. I mean, this is... Yeah, this is a brave new world. So, you know, but this idea that you know, we also need to be around them all the time is also nonsense. I don't think a kid would want a robot around them all the time either, no. You know, or anybody. You know, we all need time, you know, to order our thoughts. And some of us don't, you know, need more time than others, you know, and so, you know, but school is become like a... other people have used this phrase, a panopticon, where every minute of your day is under watch by somebody somewhere, and you're being, you know, evaluated and noted. And, you know, I don't think it's quite as bad as it sounds, but it can be. It can be, you know, I mean, if, you know, and so, you know, how much independence does a school give a child? Not much.
You know, true.
Not much, you know, and independent learning. That's like, you know, maybe if you're in high school, you'll get an independent learning class, you know. But we're trained from an early age as children and adults that you got to keep your eyes on those kids all the time.
Yeah, true.
Don't let them talk back to you. Don't let them give you any gruff. You know, it's just and it's crazy because it's like, no, we want our children to stick up for themselves. We want them to know when someone is being bad to them or good to them and appreciate it or react to it appropriately. And not just, oh, you're an older person, I will do whatever you say because that's what I've been taught to do. And, you know, that's one of the dangers that we have if we don't allow people to have the time to think about where their place in the world and what they want to do with their lives. And for a child, that could be as simple as trying to figure out, what do I want to eat next? What do I want to play next? How do I make this picture? I want to draw something. How do I make it look right? They may ask you, then they may come up, but it's got to originate here while they're alone at some point, but in education, we think, oh, we have to expose the children to all these ideas. Hmm. Parents, and it's like, no, we don't. Children, we didn't expose children to computers. Children were exposed to computers because they were all over our society by the late 1980s. And in fact, it became a joke. I remember, adults were saying, oh, I need to learn a computer. Maybe my grandchild could show me how to do it. Mm. It's like children learn these things by doing and stuff, and we have to step back and allow that to happen. But there's this, mentality that we've adopted, that we must be responsible for everything for our child. And if not, as you noted at the top, some authority's going to come in and slap us on the wrist and, fine us, or say, oh, you're an irresponsible parent. I don't know. To me, an irresponsible parent could equally be someone who has a ton of money and sends their kids off to all sorts of different enrichment activities, but never has a relationship with their child other than paying for their activities. But that's acceptable. But apparently, get involved in their child and say, I'm sorry, but you should spend the next hour or two figuring out what you want to do. You have to figure this out. Then that's like child abuse.
It is. I like that a lot. When my child was very young, a good friend of mine said to me, because I'm a single mom, that everything that goes wrong with this child is my fault. And I was not okay with that statement, because I thought, first of all, this is its own human being, and it's not only me on this planet, it's a whole society. So the influence comes not only from me, and I think I should be supported for doing it alone, because I wasn't the one running away from responsibility. I took the responsibility like a normal human being. And instead of making me feeling I'm the responsible one for all the things that go wrong, I should be supported so everything goes as smooth as possible. But this is now not how moms are approached, especially not in Germany. If something's wrong with your kid, it's really your fault. I mean, most of the times, if something is really going off, and you can, of course, trace back where's this problem coming from and blah, blah, blah. And you know what I mean? And I think really that all this pressure, especially on moms or homeschooling, unschooling parents, it's unbearable. And instead of really communicating and knitting a grid between all of them, it's more like fighting. And I think what I see from the US in homeschooling communities and societies, it's lovely. It's a lot of support. So I was baffled when it's crazy. Really, they support each other, but maybe because it's legal and it's not like you're the crazy one, you're just one of the crazy ones, but legal. And I think in Germany, it's on top of everything. If you homeschool and you leave your child alone and something happens, God forbid, then you're the one going to jail for that. I think it's insane. Society isn't working probably like it should work for us to raise kids in a relaxed manner, but this is making it worse, I guess. So maybe we can, because we wanted to have a very short episode, maybe we can think about, I don't know, what is super important. I mean, we all know for our mental health how important it is to step back for a little bit, get back to yourself, bring everything in order in your head, then you can go out in the battle or whatever it is and be strong again. And I really think, as you said, this over entertainment in school, I never saw it that way because I never think about school, but this over entertainment in school compared to don't leave your child alone, not even for an hour, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. that make me feel very relaxed now that I heard it.
I'm glad.
So, yeah, really nice. So yeah. I don't know, what would you say about the whole topic, maybe in general, making time for yourself, teaching your kids, making time for yourself is something very beautiful and very, very important.
It is. It is. And, you know, in America, we're always talking about family values and the importance of the family. And, you know, I wish there were more support for that. I think a lot of parents do, too, because there's a lot of lip service. But basically, you know, I think a lot of families would appreciate knowing that, you know, they had, that if their kids got sick, it wouldn't, you know, cause them to have crushing medical bills, or that, you know, if their husband loses a job, they're going to lose their house, you know, within a month. These are the pressures that I hear here, you know, and we're lucky that, you know, there was like this concept of mutual aid, you know, that, you know, homeschoolers lean on, unschoolers lean on, and you know, American society always used to lean on, but things have been changing as technology centralizes wealth and power, and we're seeing that, you know, the billionaires want a workforce that does their bidding, you know, instead of this idea of, you know, where the schools create entrepreneurs and some of us will be, you know, do that, and others will work for companies and help them innovate, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, that's one of the downsides, I think, this idea of, of not being alone is just like, it trains you that you have to be told how to entertain you. You have to be told how to relax, when to relax. So you can't regulate yourself, you know, and that's what I think we're trying to do with our children and ourselves, is to regulate ourselves so that we have a healthy, good life, you know, and that's going to depend on our circumstances. Like, you know, Germany and France, you know, they have completely different constitutions and political beginnings than the United States. You know, ours is based on more individual rights, the Bill of Rights, for instance. And you come at it from different angles. So, I mean, it makes sense that you would have different social structures and so on. But I think ultimately, in any case, that, you know, families should have the right to raise their children as they see fit, not as the government demands.
I love it. That's the perfect finish sentence, I think. Nice. Thank you so, so much. And I'm really looking forward for the next time you're on my podcast. I'm excited to learn what our next topic will be, because I think every time you have such a nice overview about the topic. So when I come from my tiny little unschooling world, you have like a nice overview about free education, how it feels over there and all the difference. I really appreciate that. It always puts things back into perspective, and really nice. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Alex. Nice talking with you again. Look forward to it again.
Nice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How cool is that? Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please support my work. Check the podcast description for the details and have a wonderful rest of your day.